Our message this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 40 through 30. And for those of you that take notes, I've entitled it, Use It or Lose It, the Parable of the Talents. Matthew 25:14. Thus saith the Lord, For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them 5 other talents. And likewise, he that had received 2 talents, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Before we look into our passage this morning, let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, I pray that everything from my mouth would be of you. I thank you, Lord, for giving me this message to your children, and I pray that if there be one here who knows not Christ as Savior, you might use this message to stir their hearts. Thank you, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Servants. You know, it's pretty hard to understand how people don't realize that being a servant is something that we all are. Every one of us are servants to one thing or another. I'm a servant to CL&P. I'm a servant to Yankee Gas. I'm a servant to Stop and Shop. A big servant to Stop and Shop, I might add. And I'm working on that. So we're servants by our very nature in the way we live our lives. In the Bible, though, we find a good example of being a servant, God's servant, in the parable of the talents. To begin with, every page of God's word is inspired, and it's given to us so that we will know exactly what our responsibility to God is and what God's responsibility to man is. And it's pleased God to use parables as a method of teaching his children all the things that he would have them do. A parable is best described as an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. For example, in the previous example in Matthew, before the parable of the talents, we have the parable of the 10 virgins. Here we see our Lord illustrating the inward spiritual life of believers who watch and wait for our Lord's second coming. In the parable, he used 10 virgins carrying lamps, waiting to lead a bridegroom to his bride. 5 of the virgins had oil, and the other 5 didn't. And what the parable teaches us is that not all who claim to be connected to Jesus Christ really are. Now in the parable of the talents, the Lord uses 3 servants. He uses them to illustrate the outward activity, the work he expects his servants to do for him. We should note that these parables are arranged in this order for a very good reason. You see, the only way one can bear fruit for the kingdom of God outwardly is by first diligently maintaining an inward spiritual life. You see, if your heart's not right with God, you can't work for God. If you're not eating from His Word every day, you're not going to have the strength or the stomach to do His work. And if you don't persevere in your faith, all you will see for any work that you do is the admonition, "I never knew you." So let me be clear about this. Scripture declares that all genuine disciples of Jesus Christ are to bear fruit for Him. I have a proof verse for that. John 15:16. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring fruit, and that your fruit should remain." It's interesting to note that word ordained in that passage, it means commanded. That means for God's children, bearing fruit is not an option. It's a command. All the disciples of Christ are to work for their master. Ephesians 2:10 reminds us, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And there comes with that a warning. John 15:2, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away." You see, the branches that bear fruit, they have a vital connection to Christ that the fruitless branches don't have. That's why they're fruitless. You see, the branches die because they're not connected to the root that supplies the life-giving sap that grows the fruit. And I have a proof verse for that. John 15:5. "I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Those would be branches that didn't bear fruit. And in John 15:6, the very next verse, we see what happens to those dead branches that don't bear fruit. "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." In the parable of the talents, we have several other lessons we can learn. The first thing we see is that all God's people, every disciple of Jesus Christ, are to be servants. Servants to Jesus. We also see that everything we have, comes from our Father. James 1:17 would be the proof verse for that. "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights." We also see that there are only 2 types of servants: profitable servants and unprofitable servants. And finally, we'll see that all true believers are to work and they're to bear fruit for their master. Let's look at the text. The parable begins with a simile. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country." Here our Lord is talking about his departure from earth and his ascension into heaven. And he represents himself as a man going into another country. So he puts his affairs in order by first calling his servants together and then giving them his possessions to take care of while he's away. Of course, the servants he's referring to are his disciples, professing Christians today. And the possessions that he's referring to is everything a disciple has or ever will have. Whatever gifts, whatever endowments you have, whether they are given to you, whether you acquire them, or whether they are temporal, or whether they are spiritual, they all belong to your master. You see, a slave owns nothing, not even themselves. Everything belongs to their master. And I have a proof verse for that. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Paul writes, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God?" And here it is. "And that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price." Every disciple of Christ has been bought with a price. So whatever a slave has or is given or a servant, it belongs to their master. That means Christ has claim to everything which belongs to his people. And I'm here to tell you this morning that he demands that it be put into service. How do we know that's true? Because verse 19 tells us that our Lord is coming back, and he's coming back to settle accounts. Here's what it says. "Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settle accounts with them." That means, as a servant of Jesus Christ, we all will be held individually accountable for everything that God has given you. And I got to tell you, for me, that's a very sobering thought. That includes how you invest your time, your money, your faith, and the grace that God has given you. It includes how many doors that are open and you walk through or don't walk through. It means how many times you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart about something that you need to do, and for whatever reason, you choose not to do it. Someone wrote of Lord Oliver Cromwell that he was visiting one of the great churches of England, and he discovered, hiding in the niches of one of its side chapels, a number of silver statues. "What are these?" Cromwell demanded of the trembling dean who was showing him round the church. "Please, Your Highness," was his reply, "they are the 12 apostles." "The 12 apostles, are they? Well, take them away at once and melt them down and coin them into money, that like their master, they may go about doing good." This is the same mission that God has given to each one of his disciples. We need to understand that the world we live in is not a playground, but a vast harvest field where every believer in every church must thrust in the sickle and reap. This is what the parable of the talents is all about. Taking what God has given us, bearing fruit with it, much fruit, and fruit that lasts. In John 4:35-36, our Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples, and he's telling everyone listening to this message this morning. He said, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life. Do you get that, my beloved? Do you understand that the fields all around you are white for harvest? That's what missions and outreach programs are all about, going into the fields and harvesting, going into the fields like our brother Kevin and Monique did, and showing other brothers and Christians how to throw that seed out, how to plant seed. You see, Kevin knows that those fields are white for harvesting, and the Lord has put it in his heart to show brothers and sisters exactly how to go about doing it. That's what he's called to do. We all have a job for Christ. You see, our church here has been blessed by God in many wonderful ways. The flames of revival have come to the Northfield Congregational Church. The Word of God is once more preached and taught without reservation. People are being born again. Baptisms are taking place. Brothers and sisters have an unquenchable thirst to learn and to share their knowledge of Scripture. And the fragrant aroma of fellowship and church unity fills our little church. And you know, if that was all there was going on here in Northfield, that would be even far more than we deserve. But there's more. It has also pleased our Master to bless this church with many, many talents. And soon, we're going to have a business meeting, and we'll have to decide what we're going to do with those talents. The motto of our church, outside on the sign, it says, "The Bible is our compass." So we are a Bible-believing church. So let's use that standard, and let's look at our text this morning and see what our Master would have Northfield do with the possessions that he's given us. Look at verse 15. In verse 15 we read, "To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey." First thing I'd like you to note is that our Lord doesn't give every servant the same gift. He gives according to his knowledge of that servant. You see, he knows what each of us are capable of doing. So he gives to each of us according to our abilities. In the parable, to one he gave 5 talents. To another he gave 2 talents, and yet to another he gave only 1 talent. And then what did he do after he gave his possessions away? He left. Immediately after distributing his possessions, he departed. Interesting to note, this leaves each of his servants uncontrolled and undirected to use his property any way they see fit. He doesn't tell them, do this or don't do that, do this instead of that. None of that. He just gives them his possessions and he leaves. You see, God gives all of his children free will, and at the same time, he sets before us through his providence opportunities to use the gifts that he has given us. Now let's see what happened after our Lord left. In verse 16 and 17, we see that immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. You see, here we have 2 servants that understand that whether our endowments or the gifts that God gives us are large or if they're little, we have a responsibility to use them all in the service of our Lord. And they did just that. Straight away, they went out, they took what the Master had given them, and they doubled it. Luke 12:48 reminds all the servants of God, from everyone who has been given much, much will be required. In verse 18, we see that the servant had only received one talent. Well, he did something a little different. He actually did something radically different. He actually did something that most Christians do all the time. What's it say? But he who received the one talent went away and dug a hole in the ground, and he hid his master's money. You know, at first, one might think that that might be a safe thing to do. Hey, no responsibilities, the money's out of sight, nobody can see it, I don't have to worry about losing it, I don't have to worry about it. See, the problem is, with that kind of thinking, is that our Lord doesn't give us possessions so that we can go and hide them away somewhere, dig a hole and put them in the ground. He doesn't give it to us for that reason. He gives us his possessions so that we can use them. He doesn't give us time, money, grace, and faith just so that we can walk out and dig a hole and say, not today, Lord, I don't want to do that today, and just throw it in the ground. He doesn't do it for that reason. As a matter of fact, when you do that, it defeats the whole purpose of him giving it to you in the first place. No, he wants us to use it. He wants us to use it in this world. That's the whole point of being blessed by God. Use it or lose it. Now, I already hear people saying, well, he's probably got a proof verse for that. Amen, I do. Verse 19. Here's how I know that's true. Verse 19 says, now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. You see, it was time to open the books. Time to let the master judge just what his servants had done. And it's here we discover exactly what God wants all of his children to do with whatever he has given them. When the servant that was given 5 talents and the other servant that was given 2 talents told their master, you know, we've taken charge of your possessions, Lord. You see, they'd used them, and they took them out, and they doubled it. Straight away. Soon as he got them, they went out, and they worked with them until they doubled them. They took the opportunities that they had, and they stepped out of the boat in faith, and they used what he had given them. And now, our Lord responds to that in a very positive way, doesn't he? Look at verse 21. I don't know about you, but my Bible has a lot of marks in it. And this is one that I got marked out real well. I've got it memorized up here. It says, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, I believe these are the 6 sweetest words that a human being could ever hear. Not a sound in all of creation can equal well done, good and faithful servant. And the master's praise goes on even more to these servants. He says, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. And then listen to this. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Come on. I've been preparing a place for you in my Father's house. Come on. You see, this is what it means when the Bible says that saints will be glorified. When God himself invites you into his house. When God himself says, well done, good and faithful servant. There can be nothing in this universe sweeter to a human ear than to hear those words. Because this is what it means to be pleasing in God's sight. These are the words every believer, these are the words every church should strive to hear. And these words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. They are the reasons God made us and put us here in the first place so that we could love Him and that He could love us. Well, we're missing a servant. What about the third servant? The one that was only given one talent. We pick up the dialogue of what happened in verses 24 and 25. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Basically, I dug a hole. And what was his master's reply to his actions? We get that in verse 26. Five words you never want to hear God say to you. Thou wicked and slothful servant. The word wicked here means false-hearted, as opposed to the servants who were called good and faithful. And adding slothful to the indictment simply marked the precise nature of his wickedness. You see, it wasn't that he did anything against the master. He just didn't do anything for him. He made no effort to improve the one talent that was entrusted to him. And I wonder today, if our master came back, what kind of report the visible church of Jesus Christ would be able to give to their master. Or, on a more personal note, what kind of report do you imagine you would give if your master came back today and sat down and opened the books and asked you to give an accounting of what you had done with what he had given you? You think you'd hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant? Or do you think you'd hear the stinging accusation, thou wicked and slothful servant? I think everybody listening to this message knows what kind of servants we are. We know our shortcomings, and we know what we do. And I hope we all realize that we need to do more than just decorate a church once a week by coming and sitting here. Because just as the apostle told the Thessalonians, I'm standing here this morning telling everyone listening, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. He's coming back. And when he returns, the books will be opened. And all of us will give an accounting of what we did with the talents he brought into our life. And the penalty for those who do nothing for their master will be much more than the harsh words. Look at verse 30. Here's what he says. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here the command is issued to the ministers of the Lord's vengeance. Take him away and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. The unprofitable servant was lazy and wicked because he didn't advance his master's interest and he didn't even advance his own interest. James 2:26 reminds us all, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So while the faithful servants will enter the joy of the Lord, the unprofitable servants will be rejected from his presence, expelled from the kingdom of heaven, and banished to the outer darkness for all eternity. So the question I want you to take home with you today is this. What type of Christian servant do you think you are? And our text teaches us there are only two kinds, profitable and unprofitable. When you stand before the sovereign God, Jesus Christ, and the books are open, what will his flaming eyes see? Have you taken what your master has given you? And have you used it to turn a profit for his kingdom? Or have you taken God's possessions and dug a hole and buried them? The parable of the talents is an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. And I pray that all of you will get the message this morning, and that all of you will become better stewards of what God has given you, so that one day you too will hear the sweet sound of "well done, good and faithful servant." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, if ever we needed your help in anything, Lord, it's in being faithful servants. And so, Father, I pray that each and every one of us here would take this message to heart and leave this place purposing in our heart, like our brother Daniel, that we might be better stewards of what you've given us. We pray, Father, that you might help us with that each and every day of our life. For, Lord, we look forward to your Son's coming. We wait and watch. And we also, Lord, wait for the words and hope to hear those words. Help us to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.